Right, welcome members. You're listening to the Crass Files podcast with Adam. It's Tuesday night, the 18th of Feb 2020 here in Sydney, Australia. Always great to be plugged in to cover the latest and what I'm seeing around me in this crazy world, and what I'm posting also on the website crassfiles.com. But as always, thanks so much to the members out there for your continuing support. That just helps me to really continue here and move forward and keep the website up and rolling, of course. And well, we're ready to rock and roll, so great to be here. Time is flying by, always lots to cover, that's for sure.
The more I come right back to you, I'll always need your love, I guess. I've looked for more, but more is less. You take me in, you take me slow. You let me be, you let me know that less is more, less is more. Hold me tight, and everything is right, just like before. Oh, take it easy.
Technology, a bit of technology news. It's always important to cover what I'm seeing on the ground here. People may be busy and may miss some of these snippets that come out, but they're always important to cover. And this has so much to do with what I always talk about on this show. We just keep connecting the dots here, but technology is a huge part of all these changes that are coming down the lines for all of us, so we have to stay on top of it. And at least, as I said, or I always say, recognize this system, recognize the beast around us, because it's there and it's watching. And so, you know, I guess we can't be paranoid about it. We just got to identify it and try and kind of navigate our way through these stormy seas, hoping that we're going to come out on the other side and things might be better. But things are getting very crazy indeed. Now, this news popped up in one of the feeds on social media from some of the guys there, and I always try to follow this and post it as much as I can to keep folks up to date. But this is sort of in regards to the smart city rollout around Australia. They're just testing the waters, I guess, here at the moment. Especially in Perth and some other places. And I've put some of that up. You'll probably see the category on Crass Files, SciTech category there. I try to lump a few as much as I can in there when I get it. So this is today or yesterday, I think. Privacy fears sparked by new AI cameras. And we talked about this. I've talked about this before, and I know Ethan over there at Tot News does a lot of work on this as well. And as I said, especially in regards to the smart cities, and we've talked about these new cameras that they're trialing in Perth, and I think Darwin as well, and they're going to start rolling them out all around the country. And I guess other countries are testing this as well on the streets of the cities and even towns, I'm not sure. But a new highly advanced surveillance camera has sparked a debate about privacy and artificial intelligence in Perth. So the camera, developed by private Perth-based tech company Aero Ranger, is able to track every vehicle number plate and model at a busy intersection and stream it live onto YouTube. That doesn't sound too good, does it? The purpose here for this AI camera is really to start the conversation of artificial intelligence and how it can be used in the real world, Aero Ranger CEO John Colebrook stated. So you can see the cameras in operational use here at monitoring traffic at busy intersections there in Perth. So the Aero Ranger claims the camera collects no data, sure, and that the live stream is harmless, sure. The Law Society President Nicholas Van Hattem said it was entirely legal. Filming activities in a public street is not illegal. People don't have a right to privacy in a public street, he said. So this guy's got a lot of morals, hasn't he? So Mr. Colebrook said the technology was not being used for identifying people, sure, merely to work out statistics about the use of the intersection. Well, why would they want to do that? That's ridiculous. It's about monitoring people, folks. This is just bullshit what he's saying. Some people fear that this sort of technology is a small step towards a surveillance state. We're already a surveillance state. We're a Big Brother state. We're a nanny state in this country, for sure. As I've always said over and over again, we're tested on all the time. China is expected to complete its social credit system this year, with the country's entire population monitored around the clock by 200 million CCTV cameras. Interesting as well with the with the 5G rollout and all this new technology rollout and facial recognition rollout technology and all these new CCTV type cameras and AI cameras going into China, as that criminal dictatorship wants to desperately hang on to power. I mean, we talked about this and the protests happening there in parts of the country and the unrest happening. They're slowly cracking. And they want to bring all this in to completely dominate and control those people over there. And they don't want to lose their grip on power and have it all fall into chaos. So interesting looking at that. But you can see, well, I'm just looking at some pictures here. The cameras are taking some pretty close-up pictures of people in cars and stuff like that. Very clear there. So actions the government considers immoral, including jaywalking, buying alcohol, or even playing too many video games, could see citizens blacklisted and shut out of the system. So you got to be a good boy and have a good social credit score, or you're going to be outside the bubble. We talked about this on the last podcast, didn't we? Where they bringing everybody into line to do as they're told, and you just have to do what you're told to live any kind of normal life. And if you don't, you get put outside of the bubble. It's a really easy sort of system of control, isn't it? State leader of the Liberal Democrats and MLC, Aaron Stonehouse, warned that Australians should be wary about going down that path. We enjoy a certain level of freedom in this country, and we need to stay vigilant and ensure we protect that, he said. So that's all it says here. So pretty unbelievable technology being rolled out there that I've been watching as well. So, you know, it is a worry. I mean, geez, people say, well, maybe they don't really have all this technology. Maybe they want you, the citizen, to think they have all this technology so it keeps you on your toes and paranoid. But they don't really have it, or they, you know, they couldn't have it. But I think that they absolutely do have it, you know. I think they absolutely do have it, and it's a real worry where they're going with this, because I've seen new laws come into play. I'm in New South Wales, out of Sydney, so I've seen new laws come in, like these new. I'll pull that up now because they got new cameras that are taking photos of you if you're texting on a phone in your car. And so where does it end, folks? So I understand that if you're driving a car, texting is dangerous and you shouldn't really be doing it, you know. But where does this end? You know, are we going to have little tiny miniature drones spying on us when we're sitting on the toilet in our houses at night, you know? You know, all of this, like, where does all of this end? So, you know, spotting drivers on their phone is just the tip of the iceberg for AI-enabled cameras. So again, these are new laws coming in. So the Australian state of New South Wales announced a plan to crack down on drivers using their phones on the roads. So this state transport agency said it had integrated machine vision into roadside cameras to spot offenders. The AI automatically flags suspects. Humans confirm what's going on, and a warning letter is sent out to the driver. So I'm guessing soon with these new smart cars, it'll come up automatically on your dashboard there, or where your little camera and little devices for your reverse parking and everything, because I've seen where they're bringing in new cars now where they're getting rid of the side review mirrors and all of this, because it's all going to be interconnected into that unit in the car. And then pretty much they'll drive themselves soon, but you'll be alerted straight away. But this one is saying they send out a letter. It's a system to change the culture, the Assistant Police Commissioner said of New South Wales. Michael Corby told the Australian media, noting that police hoped the technology would cut fatalities on the road by a third over 2 years. Well, that's how they get away with implementing all these draconian measures, don't they? It's all done, as I've said a million times, to protect you from yourself and others. We're going to participate in activities like driving. There's a lot of dangers associated with doing that exercise, driving a car, but that's just a given. Anything that we really do, there can be dangers involved, but how much legislation and all of these rules and things can slowly creep into our lives? Around everything that we do every day. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It seems like an admirable scheme, top to bottom. The offence is clear. The desired outcome is unimpeachable, and there's even a human in the loop to stop the machines making mistakes. But it also demonstrates the slow creep of artificial intelligence into state and corporate surveillance, a trend that experts say could lead to dark places, chilling civil rights, automating prejudices and biases, and pushing society slowly towards authoritarianism. Of course, right now AI is primarily leveraged in the world of surveillance to identify people. And we hear all these stories about what's going on in China, of course. These networks of facial recognition cameras and used to track regions over there. And in the UK, where there's one surveillance camera for every 10 citizens. So I've looked at that and researched that about all the massive amounts of surveillance going on in the UK. Private companies have begun using the tech on a much smaller scale to automate watch lists, spotting both known troublemakers and VIP customers. They walk into a store, and in the US, the Amazon team behind the company's popular Ring surveillance camera planned to create similar watch lists for individual neighborhoods, although they ultimately scrapped the plans for now, but they never go away. But as the roadside cameras of New South Wales show, identifying people is just the start of AI surveillance. The real power and threat is identifying actions. This means creating cameras that don't just tell you who people are, but what they are doing. Is that person moving things about? Could they be stealing something? Are they just loitering in a way you don't like? And I've talked about this before. You don't want to sit on a park bench and feed the pigeons too long, because you soon become a suspect. What's that bag you're carrying? Why are you carrying a backpack on a bus or a train? Why are you standing in the one spot for too long? Why are you texting for too long? Why are you staring over over here? Why are you staring over there? Why do you walk the same way every morning at this exact time? Why do you go in that building at this exact time every day? You know, why do you sit to have your lunch at the same fountain every day? Why do you talk to the same people on Tuesdays at 3 p.m.? You know, why do you drive this car only all the time? And why is it red? You know, so it's all this stuff and this machine learning. And who knows what's going to happen at the end? Bing, you come out, you're a suspect. You know, but make no mistake, the machine learning and these AI technology are processing more on the side of you're a criminal and that you shouldn't be trusted more than you're a good person. Because I think they're designed that way. These sorts of features are not yet widespread, but are beginning to, make their way into everyday use. And I'm just looking at some footage from an AI surveillance camera in Japan, trained to spot shoplifters. And I have heard about these. I think I talked about on an old podcast where they're using in some of the malls and stuff in Australia. This was a while ago, so they've gone much further now, but they're kind of these sort of AI cameras that shops can use that, as I was just saying, if you're in one spot for too long or whatever, it can kind of target in on you. And you know, who knows if they're going to start sort of reading our body temperatures, our heart rate, and all of this, you know, just everything that we do. And then they alert, obviously, the security and stuff like that. But you would go into the shops, you wouldn't even know that this is happening to you, but you're right there, bang. And so when you're walking through these malls and stuff now, you're being watched every step of the way and through the streets. So you're being watched in these bunkers, I'm guessing. So this example in Japan is interesting because you can buy an AI surveillance cameras and that is claimed can automatically spot shoplifters, a feature that's functionally no different to Amazon's Go stores, which use machine vision to automatically charge customers for items they grab off the shelves. Isn't that interesting? What if you put it back? I don't know. In the US, one firm is building Google for CCTV, which leverages machine learning to let users search surveillance footage for specific types of clothes or cars. In India, researchers say that they've even built software that can be loaded into drones to automatically spot fights in the streets. Such applications are often treated with suspicion by AI experts. With the drone system, for example, researchers have pointed out that the software had questionable accuracy rates. So this is another problem, isn't it? The accuracy rates and what the machine says about you. What if it's wrong? What if it's off the ball? This is like Minority Report, isn't it? Pre-crime. And as I was saying before, the machine just may target you. It's like that. And what if they're not right? And this is, we're going into a system when, you know, when the computers say something about you, that you've done something, you've done it. What can you do to get out of it? It's funny when you're in this system, I find that wherever you go, people, especially if you're looking just for example at banks or whatever, you know, they act like they're your friends and you have a little bit of a chat, but whatever is on that bloody computer, man, that's it, and they will not change. You can see they completely dominated by those things and they just will not shift. You know, what's on that computer, sometimes even if you change your name or some things, you just can't change anything. It's absolutely unbelievable when you have to go through a nightmare to change even passwords sometimes, you know. So it's not easy, and it's really always something that's worried me, because you are in that system, and whatever that system says about you, you've done. And you know, anybody could set you up, right? Or you know, these AI systems could make mistakes on you, and you could be in trouble there. And how do you defend yourself? Is this likely to falsely flag incidents? As with other examples and algorithmic bias, experts say algorithmic bias. Jeez. Experts say that if systems are fed data that skews towards certain groups or people or ethnicities, then this will become apparent in the software's results. Problems like these, though, aren't likely to stop private companies and governments from adapting the technology. Biased algorithmic systems are already in use in sectors like healthcare and criminal justice, and surveillance would likely be no different. The end effect could be a more tightly controlled and repressive society, of course. As Jay Stanley, a senior policy analyst, told The Verge last year, we want people to not just be free, but to feel free. And that means that they don't have to worry about how an unknown, unseen audience may be interpreting or misinterpreting their every movement and utterance. The concern is that people will begin to monitor themselves constantly, worrying that everything they do will be misrepresented and bring down negative consequences on their life. That's very interesting, isn't it? It's like you feel like you're being watched all the time, so you kind of become paranoid about everything that you're doing because you don't want to be caught out. You know, and then it's like maybe it's all like a game. Maybe there is nothing watching you. Maybe they're just telling us this to make you paranoid so you do this. You know, it's crazy, but we start to then become a society where we start to monitor ourselves through paranoia, and you know, we police ourselves, don't we? So you know, that's really interesting. So another one here about surveillance cameras watching you and your every mood. This is from Australia as well, and from this year, I think, surveillance cameras with artificial intelligence are zooming in on us around the world, and they know exactly who you are. Higher camera resolutions and more sophisticated computer algorithms can confirm our identities in real time. Of course, checking a face against images in government databases and Facebook, of course, don't forget that. Such as passport photos and driver's licenses, you know. These images and other biometric data increasingly will be used by law enforcement to identify you, and by local government and even private agencies to check if they are dealing with the correct person. So very interesting. Many will applaud the benefits of facial recognition, such as quickly verifying criminals robbing a convenience store. Banks could confirm they were dealing with the real you after verifying your identity against an image accessed nationally through the Department of Home Affairs. So Facebook, again, I'd say, is like a real-time monitoring tool, isn't it? I mean, most people are kind of getting aware of it now, but most people aren't. They're updating every day their images and what they're doing, you know, and pictures of themselves and their friends and their families and those around them all the time on Facebook. I mean, it's predominantly really still about that. With as much as with all this information that we know, I mean, I use Facebook as a tool. They've blocked me a few times, but I don't post all over Facebook anymore. I just post on my own Crass Files page. And you know, I get quite a good reach over there, and I just keep to that. I don't post in any groups anymore. I only go in a couple of private chat groups. So I don't post all over Facebook. I just keep it to my own page, and I'm not that huge. So, you know, I'm only a small independent media here. So, you know, I'm still going there. But I do find that I can get out a whole bunch of information. There's been some recent posts that have done really well, thousands reach there. But, you know, I don't put up anything to do with me or anything I'm doing. I use it as a news feed, you know, and it's quite a powerful tool. So, you know, it doesn't bother me. I'll just use it until they cut me off. I don't really care. I don't take it personally. But many people, if you were just to go through Facebook and have a general look, it's all people's identities up there day to day, and their faces and their, and as I said, everything about them and everything they're doing. They're just putting images. I think actually, in my view, it's got worse with the younger generation, because every single time I'm out and every weekend I'm out now, these people just do not get off their phones. And I can see them, they're on their phones, they're fidgeting like these kind of psychotic monkeys, you know. They're fidgeting and fumbling around with these phones, and then they'll hold it out and they'll do a selfie, and then they'll fidget again, so they're uploading it to social media or whatever they're doing, and then they'll fidget around and fumble around again, and then they'll hold it up again, they'll do another selfie. Everywhere they go, every step, I'm stepping now, you know, I'm getting in and out of my car, I'm here, I'm there, I'm having a coffee, I'm going over there, I'm over there, and they're always taking selfies. I'm seeing them absolutely everywhere. They'll come and sit right down next to you and just pull their phones out. Have a look around you, man. It's unbelievable. You see people just sitting down everywhere. There's, I see them jogging on the spot at the lights, waiting for the light to go so they can cross, and they pull out their phones while they're jogging. I see them at the beach going into the water for a swim, and they holding their phones, but they won't go in past their waist. So they're not even enjoying a swim anymore, because they've got to do all this filming of themselves and selfies while they're swimming. And they live through this, and it's absolutely unbelievable. And you can see that they're updating all the time. So I guarantee you, you check it. I reckon it's even worse now. And I don't think that many, especially young people, millennials or whatever it is, really care about security and privacy. But imagine the size of this database for the Department of Home Affairs in Australia, or whatever government agencies in whatever countries. And think of the big populations in other countries, and think of countries like India and all these big countries that are just getting smashed with this technology, and you've got these billions of people, how much they're using this and how much they love their phones and being online, and they're going to love the 5G and everything, and just this fast access to everything. This is just a 24/7 you know, massive continuing databases of base of images, and just our whole lives being constantly uploaded and downloaded and stored. It's just unbelievable. We're even writing where we are. We're taking pictures of ourselves in our homes, in our rooms, in our beds, with our kids, everything on there every minute of the day. And these agencies can just go on there at any given moment and just get the latest updates and pictures of you, who you are and where you are and what you're doing. And so obviously that's what Facebook was designed for. And I've seen these Criminal Minds type shows ages ago where, you know, they're hunting people or serial killers, or they want to talk to people associated with these criminals and they're in these FBI offices, and they just pull up Facebook. This person's friends with that person. They were last active on this day. They were messaging this, these people are their friends, and they contact them, you know. So it's that in itself is an incredible database for them to constantly use. It's remarkable, but the human race swallowed it hook, line, and sinker, and we can't get enough. The intelligence committees and security, one sets up the Department of Home Affairs as the agency that deals with the request for identification checks using biometric data held by federal and state governments. We have data retention laws here in Australia, folks, so everything that you do online has to be stored for maybe a couple of years, and here in Australia, data retention laws. While the other allows passport images and data also used for those domestic checks, the debate over this push for facial recognition is hardly raising a ripple in the community, unlike the dissent over privacy that followed the Australia Card debate in 1985. This is fascinating, is it? In 1985, they tried to bring in an Australia Card, and people just absolutely flipped out, and there was this massive backlash, and there was this big debate, and they didn't do it. And that was in 85. So you can see, you know, this is the older generations that just did not want that to happen, and they felt like their privacy was at risk here. For sure, you know. And then, but all of this that I'm talking about tonight is not even raising, it's not even battering an eyelid with today's generations in our communities. So that's how far we're gone. That's how far we have traveled here, folks. That's a pretty unbelievable thing. It's just not a big deal for especially young people now. They don't care about this. They want to download Netflix and shows and music clips and highly sexualized content and chat with friends and put up their images. And all these girls now I'm seeing that were probably pretty, I don't know, I'm seeing so many of them now in their 20s. They got all these big fish lips and this fake hair and fake everything, and they got all this collagen injected into their lips because they want to look like all these fishy ladies off these new TV shows, all these trashy TV shows. As I said, the Australian TV networks have just gone down the sewer pipes to hell. It's just so disgustingly bad in this country now. We had some morals before and some backbone, but it's all been flushed away, I can tell you now. We've just got this never-ending conga line of really artificial, disgustingly terrible shows where all these nasty, vindictive people are just horrible, and they just hate each other, and they're mean to one another, and there's all these people cheating on one another and backstabbing everybody. And as I said, all these women have got all these injected lips and these fake breasts, and they all want to look like Kim Kardashian, and they all they care about is themselves and their money and their image in the mirror. It's all these shows. So I'm seeing all these young girls walking around acting like that, and I'm thinking, how stupid is the human race? It's unbelievable. It really is so incredibly easy to capture and control the human mind. It really is just an incredible thing. Someone will go into a movie and then walk out wanting to be that character. They'll open a magazine and they want to look like that. And that's not even raising a sweat, how easy it is to control the human race through image, just an image, creating an image that's unattainable, you know. Constantly putting that image up on a pedestal and just here, mousy, mousy, here's the cheese, come into the trap. That's the way that it goes. Unbelievable. So you can see there in 1985, people were like, in this country, man, you're not having it. We're not having your card. Stick it up your ass. And now nobody gives a stuff. So people at the time both applauded and condemned plans for Australia to have a national identification card through the Bob Hawke Labor government, saw it as a blow against tax evasion, social security fraud, and as a way of detecting illegal immigrants. The government even used the Australia card as a trigger for a double dissolution election in 1987. Despite an election win, technical issues and a coalition of opposition parties, tax evaders, cash economy practitioners, and civil libertarians sank the proposal there. So today we face more surveillance and tracking than that Australia card. That is nothing. The monitoring goes way beyond those. And so as long as your head remains attached to your neck, you are in infinitely more identifiable than via a plastic card with a serial number on it. A facial recognition system is good if it means citizens are shielded from identity theft. The fear of being captured on a camera may dissuade criminals from robbing an all-night service station, or no, being armed will persuade the scumbags coming into this country who shouldn't be here from robbing you. You pull a gun on them because you're armed and you're a confident citizen. Or attacking a woman in her way on a late night walk, it's a substitute for having police walking beats, see? Talking here again about China's massive surveillance system, and again, this is a good distraction that they want to get this in, including with 5G, just connect that system over there in China, and maybe there's these problems happening, I don't know, and they've got this whole fake virus outbreak. Interesting what's happening there behind all of this. Anyway, so this shows what could happen if the technology runs free, particularly if we let computers assess images and act as judge and jury without human checks and balances. So, you know, these computers and AI computers can be your judge and jury. That's our worry, isn't it? That's what we worry about as humans. Of course we do, man. We don't want these things taking over, where they, at the end of the day, have ultimate control over you and have the ultimate say. The combination of higher camera resolutions and sophisticated computer algorithms, of course, that identify people in real time has proven a game changer. This is called artificial intelligence. AI capability means that the machines do the arduous work of interpreting vision and checking people against known faces in government image databases. That's old technology. Anything that they're telling you now, just think 20 years ahead. So, you know that's the way I see it. I think that they've got much, much higher technology than what they're letting on. That's just my two cents on it. Closed circuit TV cameras combined with AI are being adopted in cities across the world, and of course Australia, at incredible rates. A survey of the 50 most surveilled cities released this month listed 8 Chinese cities in the top 10, along with London and Atlanta. Sydney is in the top 20 with 60,000 cameras due to its ratio of cameras per head of population. So China being really bad as well. So millions of people are being monitored here with these things. So it has been already demonstrated that you might need only one image of a person to correctly identify him from a different angles and different resolutions in future. Future states here. Cameras are not only identifying people, they are working out what you are doing. So that's really interesting. Again, we go over the Amazon Go stores in Seattle in the US, recognize what goods you are buying. So there's no cashiers. Items are charged to your Amazon account automatically as you just walk out of the shop. Interesting, isn't it? According to reports, China has been using cameras not only to identify people, but also automatically ping them for misdemeanors such as jaywalking, so you won't even know that one's coming. Cameras soon will be able to access your mood and health. If you add other signs like your walking patterns, something related to your mannerisms, it is possible that you could infer some of the health characteristics of a person. Those types of things we can expect will improve over time. So I'm sure you'll get a doctor's bill as well, or some kind of pill sent to you, or whatever it may be. It can sort of make up its mind whether you're a healthy person or you're not so healthy, and all of this. So a lot of this is in the movie Minority Report as well, which is really interesting. You know, if you go in to get a coffee every day at the same place, then, you know, all of this, it's all machine learning, isn't it? A New York school is using facial recognition to be alerted about adults and students who are not permitted on the grounds. The Wall Street Journal reported last month that sounds a viable use. On the other hand, the suggested use of facial recognition at U.S. school camps so that parents can remotely check if their children are having a good time met opposition. There, one school district wanted to use facial recognition technology for disciplinary purposes as well as that assessments. Each use case needs careful weighing up. Some U.S. airports and airlines are beginning to use facial recognition to make it easier for passengers to check in baggage, get through security, and board planes. So they made it difficult for you to get through security and board planes. That's for a reason. That's just to make it difficult. That's to train you to want this, if people can get that mindset. They go through a lot to bring in the end product. So they make things difficult and make us jump through hoops and go through all this for years. It's just a nightmare to get through the airport, but it won't be soon because it'll all be this stuff and you'll be like, phew, thank God they did this. So it's training you unknowingly to accept this kind of technology through it being simple. You move through airports with minimal paperwork. JetBlue, Delta, and Air France are trialing this as well. In Australia, CCTV systems are deployed for traffic monitoring, crime investigation, and deterrence. We have like these anti-association type laws. I know certain malls and things don't like groups of teenagers or whatever. They're not allowed to, not are permitted to be together in the same area and all of this. So they've got all these kinds of weird laws in Australia. So personal and property security and avoiding identity theft. Darwin Council is adopting 138 new CCTV cameras powered by Indigo's Vision. Artificial intelligence, when activated, the system could use facial recognition, geofencing, number plate recognition, and target pursuit, although the council did not hold a license for this advanced functionality. The council. Man, I told you councils are like dictatorships, right? Because we've allowed them to get that way. So Digital Rights Body Electronic Frontiers Australia cites the trial of facial recognition by stadiums, Queensland, at sports venues and concerts, claiming that it is beyond original character. So this will, yeah, of course, this will go into all the big sporting events and concerts and all of this as well. So the EFA says the adoption of facial recognition during the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games to combat terrorism, of course. So problem, reaction, solution. Terrorism runs through our governments. They are the terrorists. But you can see, you know, how they can get all this using, they can get all this in using that. So gave authorities a taste of its usefulness. It is now part of a general policing at stadiums in Queensland. The city of Perth has trialled it at the new Perth Stadium. EFA chairwoman Lindsay Jackson says the use of the software and artificial intelligence by those cameras is where the main concern lies. She cites shopping centres, cafes and airports. More and more facial recognition is a potential feature of a range of different software technologies, and there isn't the legislation, the community standards or the regulation about whether or not that application should be turned off or on. And if it's turned on, how is that data and that information allowed to be stored and shared? Not everyone is embracing facial recognition technology situated at the gateway to Silicon Valley. San Francisco has banned facial recognition. That's because all the tech guys work there. How stupid can we be? Silicon Valley, man. This is where all Facebook and all these big tech guys and Apple guys are. They know what the technology was designed for, so they don't want it. We always hear about this, don't we? That all these big wigs don't have this technology. They don't eat the food that we eat. They don't get themselves vaccinated. They don't do any of it. We do it, because we're test monkeys. That's really funny. So, anyway, it goes on and on. The services would use AI under the proposal. One is a facial verification system that answers yes or no when asked. If it is submitted, the image matches a particular person's photo on a file. It would be available to local governments and private organizations to check if people are who they claim to be and seek to tackle identity theft as well. So that's another one, isn't it? Identity theft brings in all of this can of worms. The other service would let law enforcement, intelligence services and anti-corruption bodies identify an unknown person of interest and obtain biometric information held about them. The Australian Passports Amendment Bill would let federal, state and territory agencies share travel document data, including passport images, under the vetting arrangements. Under the plan, Home Affairs would process requests, but the identifying data such as driver's license, images, passports and images and other personal data would reside with the state or federal agency that compiles it. Submissions to the JPCIS characterize is a formalizing developments already in train for law enforcement agencies to access biometric data. To have one central agency scrutinize request is probably a smaller nightmare compared with having hundreds of agencies across the country doing this independently with each other under the radar. With computer storage bountiful and cheap, any citizen in theory could carry data about everyone in their region on a tiny micro SD card and house photos of everyone in the country on a multi-terabyte hard drive obtainable across the counter. So the Law Council of Australia in its submission has called out the broader use of personal data that people entrusted to government for precise reasons. The Law Council notes that the identity matching services operating through the hubs will use information taken for a particular purpose for other purposes which the consent of the individuals has not been obtained, its submission says. Stakeholders are venting their concerns about the misuse of information through inadequate protection and the appropriateness of private sector access to personal data. They are calling for better safeguards, but that's never going to happen. The use, and they've got all back doors anyway. They might tell you, yeah, we've put in these safeguards, but they just go in the back. The use of computers to directly make decisions based on images captured by CCTV. That's pretty frightening, isn't it? In November, Abacus News, which covers tech in China, reported the case of CCTV supposedly catching prominent businesswoman Dong Mingzhu jaywalking, the CCTV system automatically acting as police, judge and jury threw an image of her on a big public screen to name and shame her. Unfortunately, the CCTV system had mistakenly caught an image of her on a signage on a bus passing by. She was nowhere in that area. That's unbelievable. So a bus went past with her image on it because she's famous, and then caught her up in this crime. And then humiliated her. These outcomes are possible when we leave everything to cameras and computers. It's one of many facets of our brave new world of machines. Cameras with artificial intelligence undoubtedly offer great benefits in public safety and security and the fight against terrorism, but it's a technology that society is barely on terms with. That's a real worry. You can also go on the Aero Ranger website, which I did today, and they've got all these algorithms looking at model and make and vehicle and color and everything like that in this system that I mentioned in WA. So for a while now, we have provided the operators with plug-in AI technology for drones and CCTV systems and patrol vehicles and mobile devices. Now the Aero Ranger is pleased to bring vehicle make, model, color, license plate recognition to the mix. So this hardware does it all for you. That's what they're implementing there, you know, on the streets. Going back to this one that I was mentioning about this cameras, that's a real worry here because the camera developed by this group, Aero Ranger, is able to track every vehicle. That's what they're doing on the streets, their number plate and the model, and that's what I just read out, at intersections, and then stream it live on YouTube. So, you know, you and your car could be streamed live on YouTube without you having any say in it as well. So that's obviously a big concern, isn't it? Jeez, a big worry for people. So this is only just a tiny fraction that I just wanted to cover tonight, just looking at this. But this is on the streets, and it is happening, and it's a real worry. I'll keep plugging in to continue covering this technology news, because I think it's we need to try and stay ahead of this and away from this, because you can see that it's that is not good, and especially being around these big cities, I'm guessing, as well. So great to be here, great to have a chat with a member. So hope you're enjoying the shows. Leave any comments or links. Some of the members leaving great links in the chat room there that I can have a look at as well and go over. So good to be here. Take care, and we'll chat again soon.